Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, February 19th, 2023, Romans.
All right, if we get ready for part two, a few moments, silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. I don't know if you noticed, this is a Chris Jones, mustache and beard, see? Looks just like him. And then this is Karina, affectionately known as Cornelia, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I don't know what she saw in Chris, but she saw something. And there they are. We are studying the real imputation number 4. Greater grace blessings imputed to the believer when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity. There are many categories included in this. Spiritual blessings, category number 1. Temporal blessings, category number 2. Category number 3, blessing by association. And that brings us to category number 4, historical impact blessing. Historical impact blessing. This is the SALT principle. The SALT principle, or the pivot principle. If the pivot of spiritually mature believers is large enough, then the nation is blessed in a very special way and preserved. So that's the SALT principle. We are warned by God that in reversionism, the salt loses its savor and it no longer is a blessing to the nation. Category number 5, suffering for blessing. Category number 5, suffering for blessing. Let's amplify this a little bit. First of all, suffering for blessing is designed to demonstrate the grace and the power of God in the life of the spiritually mature believer. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a blessing. Suffering for blessing is designed to demonstrate the grace and power of God in the life of the spiritually mature believer. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We are in 2 Corinthians on our Wednesday night class. We'll be getting there soon, but not this week. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and of course, The person who learned this is perhaps the greatest believer of the church age, the Apostle Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says, "To keep me from becoming arrogant because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh." A thorn in the flesh. Now, what is this thorn in the flesh? A messenger of Satan. This is a demon assigned by Satan to torture the Apostle Paul. To beat, the word actually says to torment me. It means to beat the crap out of him. So here is the greatest believer perhaps who ever lived. And God allowed, as a part of suffering for blessing, Satan to assign a demon to beat the crap out of Paul, day after day after day. And then Paul says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Three times he prayed, "God, take this away." God said, "No." He prayed again, "Take this away. Take this thorn in the flesh away." God said, "No." Prayed a third time. "Please." He thought maybe "please" with cream and sugar would help. "Take this thorn in the flesh away." No. God didn't take it away. But he, the Lord, assured me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me." And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, that slanders, sins of the tongue against him, people testing, in hardships, this is pressures, that's thought testing, in persecutions, that's system testing, in difficulties, that's disaster testing. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, God made it very clear to him. The Lord made it very clear. I'm not going to take the thorn in the flesh away. This is suffering for blessing. My grace and power is all you need. Use my grace and power and clear the hurdle and glorify me. And the Apostle Paul did. So suffering for blessing is designed to demonstrate the grace and the power of God in the life of the spiritually mature believer. Secondly, suffering for blessing teaches the value of the God-breathed scriptures, especially God's problem-solving devices. God has for you all the problem-solving devices to clear these hurdles of suffering for blessing and to honor God in the process and glorify him. So suffering for blessing teaches the value of the God-breathed scriptures, especially God's problem-solving devices. Three, God's problem-solving devices in the spiritually mature believer's heart enables him to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify God to the maximum. You are demonstrating in your life when you qualify for this, well, that is awesome. That's great. You have reached the point of spiritual adulthood where God can bring this into your life for a very, very special blessing. And it demonstrates to all those around you, they see the grace and power of God in your life. And you have impact. It's obvious to those in your periphery, wherever you go, they can see the grace and power of God in your life. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're very close to this. I am looking forward to teaching this on Wednesday night class. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, a human body that is weak, a human body that falls apart, a human body that degenerates. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us, to demonstrate the grace and power of God in our life. So, verse 8. So, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We clear the hurdles. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We clear the hurdles by God's grace and God's power. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We clear the hurdle through God's grace and God's power. We are struck down, but not destroyed, demonstrating the grace and power of God in our life. We always carry about in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. The grace and the power of God. Same thing what he's teaching here is what he taught in 2 Corinthians 12. Turn over to Romans 8:36. Romans 8:36. Again, the Apostle Paul, as it is written in Romans 8:36, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And then he goes on, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we already studied this in Romans 5. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Romans 5 verse 3, and not only this, but also we keep on boasting, glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing, because we, winner believers, spiritually mature believers, we know that suffering for blessing produces perseverance, courageous endurance, and perseverance, courageous endurance, produces or brings about proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, produces or brings about hope, absolute confidence, especially hope 2 and hope 3, greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. And hope never disappoints, because love for God, virtue love, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us, the universal indwelling of the Spirit to every church age believer. So God's problem-solving devices in the spiritually mature believer's heart enables him to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify God to the maximum. That's category number 5, suffering for blessing. Category number 6 of these greater grace blessings that God imputes to the spiritually mature believer, dying grace blessing. Dying grace blessing. Let's amplify this. One, dying grace blessing terminates the life of the spiritually mature believer. Dying grace blessing terminates the life of the spiritually mature believer. As he receives this fantastic greater grace blessing of dying grace, the curse of death with its fear and its pain is removed, causing it to become the greatest experience in life. 2, dying grace is the transition between the real imputation of greater grace blessings in time and the real imputation of greater grace blessings in eternity. So dying grace is the transition between the real imputation of greater grace blessings in time and the real imputation of greater grace blessings in eternity. 3, the spiritually mature believer has the best in life, something better in dying, and better than the best in eternity. The spiritually mature believer has the best in life, something better in dying, and better than the best in eternity. The Apostle Paul described it this way, Philippians 1:21, "For me, living," and there is no verb in the Greek, the absence of the verb makes this very emphatic, "For me, living Christ." And for the spiritually mature believer, that's absolute true. Living Christ. Dying profit. Paul says, "For me, living Christ, dying profit." Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his loved one." Subpoint 4. As far as the spiritually mature believer is concerned, God delivers him from death until it's time for him to go home. And this isn't home. Home is heaven. Our home is heaven. And for the spiritually mature believer, as far as he's concerned, God delivers him from death and will always do so until it's time for him to go home. And when it's time for him to go home, nothing will keep you here. And there are many passages that teach this, and let's look at some of those. Turn over to Job. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5, let's start at verse 19. "From 6 calamities he will rescue you. In 7, no harm," and the word in the Hebrew is evil, "no evil will befall you. In famine," which is economic disaster, "he will deliver you from death. And in battle," in time of war, "he will deliver you from the power of the sword." And then Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 4. David, spiritually mature believer David. In Psalm 23, 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then Psalm 33. Psalm 33, 18 and 19. Psalm 33:18, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. Occupation with Jesus Christ. On those who wait for His unfailing grace to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine, economic disaster. And then turn over to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verse 13. For you have delivered me from death, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So, for the spiritually mature believer, God delivers him from death until it's time for him to die. Nothing can remove you from this earth until it's time for you to go home. And God knows when that time is. And it's the perfect time. I don't care what your age is. It's the perfect time. He chooses the time, the manner, the place for us to go home to be with Him, and it's perfect. God's perfect timing. And nothing can remove you from this earth until that perfect time that God has established. So die in grace. And then subpoint five, some general characteristics of Christian death. General characteristics of Christian death. For the Christian, there's no appointment with judgment. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are absent from the body, and face to face with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. There is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death or tears. Revelation 21 verse 4. There is the anticipation of an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, and cannot be lost. 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5. The anticipation of an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, and cannot be lost. 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5. There is a new home in heaven. John 14, 1 to 6. A new home in heaven. And there is the reality of eternal life. 1 John 5, 11 to 13. You see, we have the gift of eternal life, but we do not have the reality of eternal life until our soul is outside of this body and in a resurrection body in the presence of the Lord. And death is a promotion. a promotion. Again, Philippians 1:21. And it is the Lord's victory. It is the Lord's victory in our life. 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 58. That's real imputation number 4. Greater grace blessings to the spiritually mature believer. That brings us to real imputation number 5. This is number 7. There are 7. 2 judicial imputations, 5 real imputations. This is the 5th real imputation, the real imputation of greater grace blessings in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. We're living in the church age. The church age concludes with the rapture. Right after the rapture, the great genuflex, and then right after that, the judgment seat of Christ. We will all be evaluated by our Lord Jesus Christ. And for those spiritually mature believers who receive those fantastic greater grace blessings in time, there will be crowns and rewards given to you at the judgment seat of Christ, and those crowns and rewards will glorify God forever and ever and ever. Will glorify God to the maximum. So the first of all, God and real imputation number 4 gives you these fantastic greater grace blessings in time. And then at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture, and while the judgment seat of Christ is going on in heaven, the tribulation is going on earth, 7-year period. But we're all evaluated, and the winner believers receive these fantastic crowns and rewards that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. So real imputation number 5. The real imputation of greater grace blessings in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. Well, I have a lot of passages I want to go to, and we'll start here next Sunday. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. It's hard to have a creek rise in the desert, but it does from time to time. I understand that starting Wednesday, snow can come. Snow on Wednesday, snow on Thursday. So you get the snow test. Snow on Friday. Snow, snow, snow. Snow, snow. You've seen that movie, okay. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.